Our final study in the book of Ezekiel really will not take very long. We will not spend much time on these final four chapters of this book. And I'll tell you what, the reason I don't want to spend much time on it is, to be frank with you, I don't know how to handle it. And I'm not alone. I do know that. You could read a dozen different commentaries on these chapters, and you get a dozen different interpretations, which tells me that God has not made it clear. And there are troubles with every interpretation. Nobody has a lock on truth when it comes to this. Good Christians, good Bible scholars who love the Lord and love His Word and believe in the Bible and want to be true to the Bible have different interpretations on these final chapters. And so since God has seen fit to keep the meaning rather ambiguous, I guess we'll just not spend a whole lot of time on it. Father, we pray that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. But let's read beginning in verse 1 of chapter 45. Moreover, when ye shall divide by lot the land for inheritance, ye shall offer an oblation unto the Lord, an holy portion of the land. The length shall be the length of 25,000 reeds, and the breadth shall be 10,000. This shall be holy in all its borders round about. And verses 1 through 8 refer to the sections of land in Israel which are to be set apart for the sanctuary and for the city and for the prince. And we skip down to verse 9. Thus saith the Lord God, let it suffice you, O princes of Israel. Remove violence and spoil, and execute justice and righteousness. Take away your exactions from my people, saith the Lord God. And these problems plagued Israel before they were taken into captivity. And God wants his people to set an example of fairness and honesty and integrity in general, but also when it comes to leaders. Verses 10 through 12 deal with honesty in business. Accurate weights and measures. Have the scales. Don't put your thumb on the scale when you're measuring the produce. Things like that. Just be honest in your business dealings and in your life in general. The rest of chapter 45 deals with how God wanted his people to conduct worship and keep holy days when they return. Verse 40, or I should say chapter 46, continues to give instructions concerning offerings. This is how God wanted it done when they returned from the land. And some people see this as a picture of the millennial temple and millennial worship. But again, I have a real hard time believing that, since these sacrifices and offerings are not said to be memorials. They are said to be literally for atonement. And I've got a real problem with that, and I think that just flat out contradicts the book of Hebrews, which forbids any sin offerings after the offering of Jesus Christ on the cross, which paid for our sins once and for all. But there are problems. You know, there are problems with interpreting these chapters. And maybe the best thing to do is just to read them and read them slowly and carefully and draw out some general principles that you can apply to your life. At any rate, chapter 46 again does give instructions concerning offerings, and then we go down to chapter 47. And let's read verses 1 through 12. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. So now he sees this river that flows from the sanctuary. And it says in verse 2, then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way outside unto the outer gate by the way that looked eastward, and behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankle, so it was very shallow at first. 4. Again he measured 1,000, and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000, and brought me through, and the waters were to the loins. And so as he goes further and further down the river, it gets deeper and deeper. The further that it gets from the sanctuary, the deeper the water gets. 5. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the brink of the river were very many trees, on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country, and go down into the Arabah, and go into the sea, talking about the Dead Sea, and the waters shall be healed, because right now nothing can live. There's a tremendous amount of minerals in the Dead Sea, and my understanding is that it is so dense that nothing can live, thus it is called the Dead Sea. But it says the waters will be healed. When this water from the temple of God touches it, the waters will be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth wherever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come there. For they shall be healed, and everything shall live where the river cometh. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it, from Engedi even unto Engeliam, shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. But the miry places and the marshes shall not be healed, they shall be given to salt. And by the river upon its bank, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for food, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall its fruit be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit, according to its months, because their waters issued out of the sanctuary, and its fruit shall be for food, and its leaf for medicine. This, I believe, has its fulfillment literally during the millennial kingdom of Christ. How it relates to the temple that should have been built when the Israelites returned from captivity, I don't know, but you know, we do know the end result of prophecy, but we don't always understand the details. Sometimes the details seem to be contradictory to our finite human minds. God has it all figured out. So how this will be fulfilled exactly, I do not know, but this river of water of life will proceed from God and bless everything that it touches. And Jesus referred to himself as the river of life, or the water of life, remember? And I think it was when he spoke to the woman at the well. I can give you living water, he said. And so if nothing else, this is in the Bible as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything the water touched in this prophecy became alive, was given new life. It was dead before, and of course that's the way it is with Jesus. Everyone who receives him, everyone that Jesus touches, is received, or is given life, life eternal, and abundant life. And so if nothing else, we don't know exactly how this is going to be fulfilled literally, but it does picture the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a type of Jesus, that's for sure. And the rest of Ezekiel describes the division of the land of Israel, which seems, again, to pertain to the millennial reign of Christ. And I'm sorry I can't be more detailed, but I just don't know. And I think we're going to have to wait for God to explain it to us face to face. And it's wonderful, though, we agree on the things that are essential, the things that the Holy Spirit has made very clear that no true Christians disagree on. You know, there's nothing ambiguous about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is nothing that can be misunderstood when it comes to the atoning work of Jesus Christ on the cross, or salvation by faith, of water baptism. You know, these are things that all Christians can agree on. We understand. And there are other things in the Bible that we just don't know. And well-meaning Christians disagree on. They have different opinions, which tells us that he hasn't made it clear. And but we can be gracious with each other and not break fellowship over these sorts of things, and just agree to, if we're going to have a disagreement, agree to disagree agreeably, and to be united and enjoy fellowship with one another over those things that we do understand, the important things. So with that, I thank you for spending this time with me in the book of Ezekiel, and I'll see you next time in the book of Daniel. Until then, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.